here tonight. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn 271 in our own hymn book, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. Jesus have bled and there is the remission, cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace have redeemed us once for all. Wonderful hymn of testimony, reminding us of the great blessings we have in Christ. Verse 2 there says, now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. We'll keep our seats while we sing, as our sister leads us in the piano, please. Hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord tonight, praying for the Lord's blessing and that we might know His help and presence among us tonight. Our Father and our God, we gather before Thee tonight in the Saviour's precious and wonderful name. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in Thy so great salvation. And we thank Thee, O God, for the theme of this hymn of which we've been singing off tonight. That Christ is one who provides for His people a perfect salvation. We thank Thee, O God, that Thy word declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for that grace that saves and that grace that keeps. How the hymn writer could say, surely His grace will keep us from falling. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art one that saves even to the very uttermost. And that Thou art one that promises to keep Thy people, not only for time, but for all of eternity. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that our salvation was purchased for us at the cross. We praise Thee, Father, for that once for all sacrifice for sin. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee for that glorious victory that was purchased for us. When Christ cried out on the cross, it is finished. And O God, as we come before Thee this evening hour, we come to praise Thee and to thank Thee for our standing in Christ. We thank Thee for the forgiveness of sins, for everlasting life, and for the unsearchable riches of Thy grace to be our portion. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us today and our going out and our coming in. We thank Thee for watching over us, for Thy tender mercies, Lord. We thank Thee for every token of Thy favor, every token, Lord, of Thy grace. And Father, we pray that tonight as we gather here in the house of the Lord, that Thou would just bless our coming together. We realize, O God, that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last, amen, that Thou, Lord, will draw near, that Thou, Lord, will be one of our number, O God. We think of that promise of Christ when He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we pray for a gracious sense of the presence of God. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to our hearts tonight, that Thou, Lord, will commune with our souls, that Thou wilt bless us around Thy word, that Thou, Lord, will bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. And Father, that we might go away revived and refreshed and quickened and strengthened in our faith, and blessed and helped on to heaven and drawn closer, Lord, to Thee. We thank Thee for all who have gathered with us here this evening, for every household and family, Lord, that is represented. And we pray that we each one will know the blessing of God in our lives, in our homes, in our families. We pray, Father, that Thou would unite our family circles in the Lord. And Lord, where there are great needs at this time, we pray that by Thy grace and Spirit and power, that Thou, Lord, will meet every need, O God, we pray. Remember all connected with us here in our congregation. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the meetings last Lord's Day, for all who gathered to hear Your word, both young and old alike. We think especially of those that were in unsaved out of Christ. Lord, do speak to them. And Father, we pray that Thou would save them by the mighty power of the Lord. Remember, O God, the seed sown tonight in Tresna. Bless the boys and girls there. And do remember the meetings planned for this weekend that lies before us. It's Friday night again amongst the children. Think of the youth fellowship. Then the meetings on the Lord's Day, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the morning and the evening meeting. We pray for the help and the blessing of God. We pray for the gathering in of the people under the sound of Your word. And Father, especially we pray for the bringing in of the unconverted from around the area and from around the community, and that Thou wilt be pleased to speak to them and to convict them of sin, of their need of Christ, and bring them savingly and believingly unto Thyself, O Lord, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that cannot join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt richly bless them and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who mourn and grieve. We pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts and that Thou, Lord, wilt be their helper in their time of loss, we pray. Remember all who would even listen in tonight online, Lord, whoever they might be, wherever they might be. Lord, grant Your blessing, Lord, to be upon them, and that they too would know and hear the voice of God, and that blessing from the Lord, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And remember our land tonight for good, have mercy upon it. Father, bless other prayer meetings such as this, and gospel missions on at this time. Bless every faithful servant of God. We pray that Thou wilt bless the going forth of Your word. And Father, do not leave us as a nation to ourselves, we pray. But, O God, return in mercy, return in grace, and in revival power to our land. And Father, we pray for a turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord, O God, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry that was brought before our attention on the Lord's Day evening. Bless that work. Remember Thy word as it is broadcast day by day around the continents and the nations of the world. We thank Thee, O God, that Thy word is not bound. And Father, we pray that as Thy word goes forth, that many will listen in, that hearts will be prepared of God, and that souls will be saved and believers blessed through that ministry. Be with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good. Give us blessing around Your word. Give us blessing, O God, we pray, at the throne of grace and prayer. Help us to pray and to pour out our hearts before Thee. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. giving thee thanks for all thy many mercies. Amen. And we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 5. We're turning to the 5th chapter of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 and the verse number 1. While you're looking that up, we welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us this evening. And we pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Do pray for them. The Sunday school and Bible class on the Lord's Day morning, 11 a.m. Morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. And the will of the Lord, we belong to bring God's Word. And then remember also the children's meeting on Friday night, 6:30. And the youth fellowship as well on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Pray for those meetings and the boys and girls and the young people as they gather in under the sound of God's Word, that the Lord would bless them and minister to them by His grace and power. Can I just draw your attention to a little booklet? This has been produced by our brother Chris Killen. It's simply called Teaching the Truth About Drugs. It's free out there. There's plenty of them. They're out on the table in the poor. It's an excellent little book, especially for young people brought up maybe in a Christian home or Christian family, warning of the awful dangers of drugs. And we commend that to you. And they also can give it out, no doubt, as an outreach maybe to maybe folk that you maybe know that may be involved in drugs. Well, we encourage you to take those and give them out, but those are free. They're out there on the table on the porch. That's all by way of necessary announcements. Reading from Galatians chapter 5 and the verse number 1. And stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 15, and our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. Now, our text of Scripture is just a little phrase that you find there really in the middle part of verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 5, where it simply says, the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The hymn writer says, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And those words really show that in the midst of the battles of life and in the midst of the trials of life, the believer is to consider and indeed to count the blessings of the Lord in their life. In other words, the Christian is never to lose sight of the blessings that he or she has in Christ their Savior. And my one of these great blessings is that of liberty. And the Apostle Paul mentions this very same liberty in our text tonight here in Galatians 5, verse 1, where he speaks about the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. In this book here before us, yes, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian church. And at this particular time, that church was being attacked by false teachers. These false teachers were those who said that God's people needed to still observe the Old Testament ceremonial law, the old rites and ceremonies and ordinances of the Old Testament ceremonial law. They said that God's people still had to abide by these and to observe them. Now, this teaching was completely false because through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament ceremonial law was now redundant. It was now done away with. Therefore, to protect the church at Galatia from this false teaching, Paul writes this letter to the Galatian church, and in particular, he reminds them of the tremendous blessings of salvation that was theirs in and through Christ. And there's many blessings he deals with for the Christian in this book. And one of these blessings is that liberty that he makes mention of in our text tonight here in Galatians 5 verse 1, where he says, the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. He reminded the believers of that glorious liberty that they had in and through their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it is this same blessing of liberty for the believer in Christ that I want us to look at and focus our minds and our attention upon this evening for a little while. Notice, first of all, with me here, the meaning of the believer's liberty. The meaning of the believer's liberty. Our text says, "Our Christ hath made us free." It says, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. What does this liberty mean? What does it involve? What does it entail? Well, when we are saved, this liberty means freedom from the guilt of all of our sins. You think of what the psalmist David said in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." And child of God, this is your present standing. This is your present portion. Yes, the charge of every sin against you as a child of God, yes, before God, has been cancelled. It has been blotted out. The Lord says to you and I who are saved, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. Also, we can say further that when we're saved, this liberty, yes, means freedom from the dominion of sin. Remember what Paul said to the Christians in Romans 6, verse 14. He says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." What does that mean? It means that when we're saved, the fetters of sin are broken. In other words, we are liberated from sin's dark sway and hold in our life. We can say tonight that every believer in Christ is really like a prisoner who has been liberated from the jailhouse of sin. Then further, we can say this liberty also means deliverance from the penalty of our sin and hell. Remember again what Paul said to the believers in the church at Thessalonica. He said, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." He was reminding them that they were saved, delivered from the wrath to come. You think of the words of Charles Wesley in that great hymn that he penned. He said, "No condemnation now I dread." He was rejoicing in the fact that he was saved, delivered from sin's condemnation. He was saved from a lost eternity in hell. And believer, this liberty spoken of in our text this evening means that you will never suffer the torments of hell, never be punished in hell for your sin. What a liberty this is. Forgiveness of all of our sins. The chains of sin been broken, delivered from the wrath to come. We can say further that this liberty really means access for us to God's promises as the people of God. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 4. And here Peter is writing to the Christian. Believer, this is for you and I who are saved in this meeting tonight. Look at what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. He says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Given unto us are exceeding great and precious promises. Christian, this is what your liberty entails. Access to these exceeding great and precious promises. Believer, the promises of God, the promises of the Bible, are now your present inheritance, your present portion. My, in the Bible, yes, there is a promise that is suited to our every need, whatever those needs are. Corrie ten Boom was a lady, a woman of God, who proved the promises of God. Speaking about the great blessings of the promises of God to God's people, she said, "Let God's promises shine on your problems." In other words, prove the promises of God and the problems of life. We can say further tonight that this liberty means access to God in prayer. With this liberty, it's as if God has opened up the key for, given us the key and opened up the door for us to the throne of grace and prayer. What does it say in 1 Peter 3, verse 12? It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Imagine, think about that. Let it sink into our hearts that the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the great I Am, who is infinitely holy, that he says in his word that his ears are open unto our prayers. What mercy. Yes, whatever our desires are, whatever our difficulties are, whatever our wants are, believer, you and I can bring them to God in prayer. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 65, verse 2? "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." O thou that hearest prayer. Think about that tonight as we get to prayer. The God of heaven, the great I Am, hears our prayers. He hears the cry of the saint of God, the child of God, even if it be just a few words, if it be but a groan, a burden in the heart of the child of God. The Lord hears the prayers of his people. We can say further that this liberty means access to the riches of God's grace. Remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He says, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you." And Christian, God is all the grace you need. All the grace you need to serve the Lord. All the grace you need to live for Christ. All the grace you need even to bear suffering and reproach and trial for Christ. We have access to the boundless storehouses of God's grace. What a liberty this is. How rich the people of God are. Access to the riches of God's everlasting grace. Then we can say further that this liberty, it means access to heaven. Think about that. Believer, the way is opened up for you to heaven. That's what this liberty means. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And as Paul wrote his letters, as he went about his ministry, he always spoke of heaven. He was always looking forward to heaven. Indeed, he had a desire to be in heaven, to be with Christ. He always kept that before him. And dear child of God, that's part of your glorious liberty you have tonight. You have access to heaven. One day we'll go to glory. In heaven, you and I, yes, will be free from all the curse of sin and all the taint of sin, free from all pain and suffering and all the woes and the cares of this world. All will be gone forevermore. What a place heaven is. Any wonder the hymn writer says, "What must it be? What must it be to be there?" Yes, the meaning of the believer's liberty. But then secondly tonight, notice the price of this believer's liberty. There's always a price for liberty. Think back to great things in history that have happened whereby people have been liberated. There's been a price that has been paid. And likewise, there's a price, a tremendous price, indeed an infinite price, we can say, for the believer's liberty. What is that price? Well, look again at what Paul says in our text. He says, Christ have made us free. There you see the price of our liberty. It is all linked to Christ. It is all bound up with Christ. Indeed, by his obedience, his perfect obedience, and by his death, Christ, he purchased this liberty for his people, for his church, for the saints of God. It's all linked to Christ. That's the price that's involved in this liberty for us. As our surety, Christ was one who perfectly kept the law of God for us. Yes, you and I, we're all sinners by nature and practice. We all have sinned. We all have broken the law of God. And my, we owed a great debt to God because of our sin. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was our state before God. Sinners who had fallen, who had come short of God's glory. And in of ourselves, no matter how hard we may have tried, we could never rise up to the standard of God's holy law. However, there was one who came into this world as our surety, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid that debt for us. How? By his own perfect obedience to the law of God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was holy, harmless, undefiled. He could say, I do always those things that please him. And as our surety by his life of perfect obedience, he paid the debt to the law of God, that debt that you and I in and of ourselves could never pay. Yes, he is our surety, but also he is our substitute. As our substitute also, Christ, he became what? He became a curse for us. The Bible says that. The sinless, spotless Son of God became a curse for us. Yes, because of our sin, you and I were rightly condemned and justly condemned to hell. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. However, as our substitute, what did Christ do? He allowed the judgment of hell, the wrath of God, to be poured out upon him upon the cross as our substitute. That wrath that we deserve justly for our sins and our iniquities. Christ drank that bitter cup and full for us. Turn back there to Galatians chapter 3 and the verse number 13. Look at what it says. It says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at what it says here about Christ. Being made a curse for us, for you and for me, for all his people. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. As he hung upon that cross, in those 3 hours of awful darkness at Calvary, God poured out his wrath upon him. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on the cross, Christ, what did he do? He quenched the fire of God's wrath, that you and I and all his people justly and rightly deserved for our sins. He came into this world, he became our surety. He became our substitute. Therefore, child of God, the moment you and I put our faith and trust in him as Savior, what happened is this, we were set free. Set free from our debt to the law of God. In other words, because of Christ our surety, when we trust Christ as Savior, God now accepts us as righteous in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, Jehovah Sekenu, our righteousness. Turn back there to Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 4. Look at what Paul says there. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, because of his perfect keeping of the law of God, he has provided a perfect righteousness for all who believe in him as Savior, all who trust him as Redeemer. And child of God, the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, whenever that was, wherever that was in your life's experience, by the righteousness of Christ was imputed to you. Yes, Christ, as your surety, had his righteousness imputed to you. Also, true faith in Christ as Savior. The moment you have trusted him as Savior, believer, you and I have been set free from the penalty of our sin. Why? Because Christ is our substitute. He bore that penalty for us on the cross. The moment you trusted him for salvation, you were delivered, dear child of God, delivered from the wrath to come, delivered from the penalty of your sin. Turn back to Romans chapter 8 and just look at how that great chapter opens. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul is writing again to the Christian, the child of God. He says, there is therefore now, this is present tense, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Speaking there of the child of God, the person who trusts Christ for salvation, there is therefore now no condemnation. Yes, the meaning of the believer's liberty, the price of our liberty, is all linked to Christ. But notice one final thought here in connection with our text tonight in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Notice the duty regarding the believer's liberty. Look again at verse 1 of Galatians 5 in its entirety. Notice again what Paul says, and bear in mind he's writing here to Christians who had this liberty. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Notice how he begins the verse there with the word stand fast. Notice the final words of the same verse. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And this here reminds us of the duty that belongs and pertains to the believer and this liberty that concerns them. You see, as believers, we must be steadfast in maintaining and in defending our liberty that we have in Christ. And how does that work out in our life? What does that mean for us? Well, it means us, yes, when we're saved, opposing, yes, false religion, false teaching, as Paul was doing here in the writing of this letter, and separating from false teaching such as Roman Catholicism. You think particularly of Roman Catholicism, it's a religion that is all centered upon man's works, the works of man, from start to finish. Yet the Bible says to you and I are saved, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It means us also defending the truth of God's word. Remember what Jude said to the Christian? He says that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. We are to defend the great truths of God's word. We are to oppose that which is false and contrary to the word of God. That's one of the ways, yes, that we can stand fast in this liberty and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Also, this duty, it means us doing all we can as Christians, as believers, to support and to spread the gospel of free and sovereign grace in the world at home and abroad. You turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and the verse number 16. Look at what Paul says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Notice the compulsion there in the heart of Christ, the heart of Paul, the burden to preach the gospel. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Over in 2 Corinthians, he says there, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How can you and I, in this day and age, stand fast in this liberty and to live out this duty of defending this liberty and maintaining it by preaching the gospel, by spreading the gospel, by supporting the gospel? Yes, by doing all we can, as it was mentioned on the Lord's evening by the Lord's servant, using every legitimate means that we can to spread and promote the gospel. And people, this is why the preaching of the gospel Sabbath day by Sabbath day in our church is so important, so vital, something that must never, ever be neglected. This is why giving out of gospel tracts, gospel outreach is so important. This is why gospel missions are so important. Because if we fail in this, we fail to stand fast in the liberty with Christ have made us free. Yes, we are to stand against false teaching. We are to defend the great truths of God's word. We are to do all we can to support the spread of the gospel. And then also we maintain and defend our liberty in Christ as Christians. How? By living out the gospel. By living a holy life, one that glorifies God, one that is marked by good works before the world. Turn with me your Bible over to the little book of Titus, Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. Indeed, if you're studying the book of Titus for yourself, really the overriding theme there for the book of Titus is really good works in the life of the Christian. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. In other words, that's to be part of our testimony as believers in Christ. And look at what Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7 and in the verse number 12, he says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned." Then verse 12, he says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Brethren and sisters in Christ, that's our responsibility. As believers, day by day, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, wherever we are in the providence of God, that's how you and I, yes, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, as God's people, yes, let us be thankful for the liberty that we have in Christ. This liberty that was won for us at the cross. But with this liberty, indeed, as with all liberties, there is responsibility. What is our responsibility until the Lord comes or calls? It is to spread the gospel, to contend for the gospel and the truths of God's word, and to live out the gospel to the glory and to the honor of God in our lives. Oh, by God's grace, not through ourselves, but through the mighty power of God's grace and His Spirit, may this be our testimony in these days in which we live. Yes, the Lord says to you and I tonight who are saved in this meeting, He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. May God bless His word and His truth to our hearts and to our souls this evening. We'll just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, men and women, young and old alike, and let us pray one with another and one for another. And if there's that gap, well, let us seek to fill that gap, to stand in the gap, and to intercede for the land and to seek God in prayer. You know, prayer is a powerful weapon. It's a mighty weapon. It's the greatest weapon that the Christian has and the Church of Christ has. I was reading and hearing, rather, just an article there just the other day of a certain gentleman. In 1844, he prayed for the Jewish people in a great burden to reach Jewish people. And other believers, even in his day, thought he was really mad. They hadn't much love or concern in their heart for the Jewish people. But he had a great burden, started a prayer meeting for the Jews of his day and generation, that they'd be saved and hear the gospel and be reached for Christ. But it is interesting to hear in the whole sequence of that, those events in that man's prayer life, that 100 years later, exactly 100 years later, in 1944, his own granddaughter, Corrie ten Boom, was used of God to rescue Jews from the Nazis in the time of their overtaking of Holland. That shows you the power of prayer. How potent prayer is. Oh, let us seek the Lord and use the time that God gives us to call upon God for our land, for our nation. Pray for the services. Pray for souls to be saved, young and new families to be brought in. Remember the sick in your prayers. Pray for them and those that are bereaved. And remember our missionaries as well. Maybe you can remember the boys laboring there in Mexico City under a North American mission board. God's hand of blessing has been upon them there, a very Catholic area, awful difficulties and awful poverty and things like that. But God is blessing them there and using them. Do remember them in your prayers. Remember the children's work as well, the meetings as they continue. Maybe also you could remember the family of our brother, Dr. Mark Allison. He passed on to be with the Lord, I believe, just today or maybe last night. So remember that family in your prayers over there in the United States of America. But encourage as many as possible to pray and seek the Lord in the time that is left. And maybe ask your brother, Reverend Power, to lead us off in prayer.